Last week, you guys, we did a field trip. It was our first rain out, our second winter. We've made it pretty far, you know, and we almost could have done it. There was a little window down here where we almost could have had church, but it would have been really quick, set up, tear down, you know. But we went to into El Segundo, went to New City Church, and it was really cool because Pastor Bill was teaching in the book of Acts, chapter 17, so we got a preview of what's to come. And it was cool to see how he took care of that whole chapter in one message. And then it also tied in with what we're talking about Tuesday night. We're in the book of Thessalonians. And in Acts 17, it's talking about Paul's visit to Thessalonica. So it's cool how all that went together. And so how many of you guys went to New City? Raise your hand. Yeah, we had a good group up there. We kind of took a quarter of the church. And, you know, it was kind of cool, you know. It's like, whoa, who are all these new people? Wow, who's been doing the witnessing, you know. So, anyway, if you want to enjoy that yourself, come visit, join us on Tuesday. By the way, today, notice how Matt called it home group, not Bible study. And I really want that to set in with you. It's not just a Bible study. It's a time to be with other believers during the week in a home, hanging out together. You know, I try to make sure there's cookies, important things like that. And, you know, it's more than a Bible study. It's home group. So I encourage you to come. If somebody feels led to start another one and feels like God is leading them to be a leader for that, and you've been a Christian for a while, talk to me. Because maybe Tuesday night doesn't work for you. Maybe another night works. You know, as many as I'm open to many. Hope Chapel had many churches when I was a young Christian, about 30 of them around the South Bay. And people would pick their evenings and their areas where they could go. And so it's a good thing. And I'll talk more about that in this message. So I would like to pray as we return to Ingredients for a Healthy Church. Dear Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, that you haven't left us as orphans, but you've left us with your Holy Spirit to teach us, to illuminate the Word, to help us apply to our lives so that we can be more like you and touch people with your power and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I've given you the same notes as last time, but I filled in the first blanks because that's the last thing that we did. So you've got four of them filled in, and we're going to see how far the Lord lets us go today, and then we'll stop there and continue next week. So last week we learned that a healthy church repents. Where people come to church, they change their mind about the way they're living, they accept God's counsel, they accept God's truth, they change their mind. They do a 180, like Burt Reynolds and Smokey and the Bandit and his Trans Am, you know, full, can go the other way, right? For those of you that know what that is. It was kind of a cool move. But a healthy church repents, gets baptized in water. I have a baptismal here. Water's a little chilly right now, but, you know, God didn't say you can't wear a wetsuit. You just need to be fully immersed. So I encourage you, if you have not been water baptized, be water baptized. Now, you're not going to go to hell if you wait till summer. But it says in the scripture, be baptized. So talk to me about it. We've had many baptisms here. I've had 11 in one day. We just go right down to the water's edge at the end of the service, wait for a wave, bunk. You're baptized. If it's a barrel, it'll be really exciting. But seriously, God has asked us to be baptized as an outward expression of an inward decision. We found out also last week or the week before that a healthy church gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why is that? So that we're empowered to love people. We're empowered to do the things that God asks us to do that we simply cannot do in the flesh. We can't. We need God in our lives to do this. And lastly, we learn that we need to warn each other about the dangers of the world. There's lots of lures out there that want to suck us in, take us down. Lots of Christians every day are falling Many come back. They get up. The Lord says, you know, ask for forgiveness. I'll forgive you 70 times 7. But that doesn't mean there's not collateral damage, right? So to be a healthy church, we need to stay away from the world. We need to encourage each other and warn each other. I wouldn't go there if I was you, you know. The wounds of a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. The wounds of a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. If you have a buddy that really loves you and cares for you and says, I really wouldn't go over there with those guys, it's probably not the best place to go. He's your friend, right? Amen? So let's continue reading in the book of Acts. And we're now at chapter 41. Verse 41. And we're going to find out what happens next. Thank you. I've got a Berean in the congregation here checking me out here. So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Wow. 3,000 people. They were all listening. They were watching. Chapter 2, verse 41, they were all watching. They were all listening. They'd seen the Pentecost. They'd seen the Holy Spirit come. They'd seen them speak in tongues. They'd seen them speak in other languages. They were listening to Peter. They repented. They changed their mind. And it says that same day they were all baptized. Wow. 3,000 people? That must have been a busy baptism. You know, the worship team must have been worn out by the end of the 3,000th one. They simply believed Peter. He said, repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit. So they did. So why wouldn't I do that? Look what's happening with you guys. I want that in my life. I can see that you have a change in your life. I can see that something has happened to you. I want that for me. That's what happens when we go to Malawi. When I went there in the year 2000, we would show the Jesus film out in the bush. And at the end of the Jesus film that shows the life of Jesus from the book of Luke, we'd say, who would like to go to heaven? And they'd all like raise their hands like, well, why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I want to go to heaven? Of course, now out in the bush, they didn't have the same things that prevent people from wanting to go in a more civilized area where you have other options, so to speak, right? Out there, they just knew that I want to go to heaven and I want to have power over demons. I want to have power over evil spirits in my village. I can see Jesus has that power. That's what happened to these people here. They could see the power of God. The Holy Spirit was also working in them. Remember, we talked about this, how they were cut to the heart. They were pierced to the heart, and they said, what shall we do? And that's when Peter answered and said, repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit. So they did. That's what I call getting the message. 3,000. Serious altar call. Now, in a healthy church, these that repented and got baptized would start bearing fruit, right? I mean, real Christians, people that are, we talked about this in the book of James this summer. If you're really a believer, then you're going to start doing things that show your faith. Faith without works is dead. Works don't save us, but works are an indication that you're grateful. It's an indication that you love Jesus and are grateful for what he's done in your life because you want to turn around and extend that to someone else. So you would see a significant change in their life. And let's see what happens. Chapter 2, verse 42. Let's read. Now after these 3,000 souls were saved, it says they were continually, notice that, continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Continually devoting themselves to teaching, fellowship, communion, and prayer. Now that's a change. How many have known somebody like that before where all of a sudden they're going to church, they want to go to everything the church has, they're reading the Bible all the time, and you're like, whoa, this person's new. This person's different. Right? How many is it happening to you right now? Okay, amen. You know, it was interesting because we're studying the book of Thessalonians on Tuesday, and Paul is writing this letter to those in Thessalonica, and he just left them, and he got word from Timothy after about three weeks, that they are not only on fire still for the Lord, but have weathered the persecution and have avoided the temptations of the tempter of Satan and are in love with the Lord, are doing great, right? And so this is an example of people that have really got the message. They really took it to heart. They really repented and they're following him. And Paul shows so much excitement for them, and he can't wait to see them again, but he's been hindered by Satan of going back to Thessalonica to see them. So he's written this letter. This reminds me of Aaron Astorga that came and spoke to us on the beach last year, who we work with in Mexico, and how he was saved from the streets of Tijuana. You know, he was such a bad hombre in Tijuana, surviving the streets, that he was invited to be one of the guards at the Tijuana jail, because they figured he could handle the cartel and all those guys, and he was helping run the jail. And then he got into drugs and all that, and his wife was about to leave him, and he gave his heart completely to Jesus, did a complete about face, and ever since he's been starting men's groups, he has a heart for men's groups. He's created dozens of men's groups. One of them is even in an old meth lab in Mexico, where he's done a complete about face, where all he does is live for Jesus. After he was crazy for the world, he has no more knuckles from fighting. Now he's crazy for Jesus. That's what we're talking about. And he continually devotes himself to either teaching, receiving teaching, being in fellowship, doing communion, praying. This reminds me of my friend Joe. Joe, come here for a second. I'll put you on the spot just for a sec, because I think you can handle it. Stand right next to me where the microphone is.
Thank you.
Can you just give us like a 3-minute or five-minute synopsis of what's going on in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was January 20th, Sunday. I rode down the Strand. I'm driving from Hermosa Beach. My goal is Venice. And I made it. I rode by the sign. It was 8:23. Church started at 8:30. I was 7 minutes early. I made it about halfway past those smokestacks before I just felt the tug. I couldn't keep going. I'm a little embarrassed to say, but it was a coffee and donuts. And I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to have coffee and donuts in the name of the Lord. Coffee, donuts, God donuts changed my life forever. I'm diving in head first.
Woo!
Since then,
yeah.
I've learned about stuff that I never even knew was possible. There's this amazing, amazing, amazing higher power, this spiritual warfare that's going on, that's battling us every day. Since then, I did a 3-day cleanse, and I learned that I want to deny my flesh to feed my spirit. Mm. I was only going to make it one day. The first day happened, I'm like, this is so real, I want more. I want to feed my soul more, my spirit more. Made it the second day. I've got this weird number with threes. I don't know why, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Well, I made it the third day. And then I finally drank water for the first time that day. And at the end of the day, I actually cleansed or ate food and fed my body. I didn't want to do it. I wanted to keep going. Since then, it's been so amazing. The people that I've uplifted, just watching the pastor call me up here, it's amazing. I've got my mother here. I'm fighting for everybody. This is something that you do not see. You feel it. And when you feel it, you know it. And when you know it, we own it. And this is amazing, amazing feeling.
I remember you were telling me that you used to tell people that the beach is your church.
You know, and
what happened?
That was another funny thing. You know, I was always been a believer. I always thought I was good, but I've never read the Bible. I've never belonged to a church. I've always been a believer. I've always been a believer. I told myself one thing: the church is my beach. I love surfing. I mean, I'm sorry. The beach is my church. Yeah, the ocean is my church. I don't need to go to church. I listen to great music. I worship in my own ways. Well, God answered me. This is Church of the Beach. He finally gave me what I was looking for. So I feel so welcome here, guys. Thank you so much.
You know,
the amount of love and everything God has done through you guys. It's God that speaks through everybody, that speaks through us.
You know, what really told me that there's a sincere change in his life? He listened to 4 of my messages in 1 week. I don't know how anybody could do that. I can hardly listen to 1 of my messages.
Yeah.
And I knew that something was going on, right?
Well, you know, driving by, the first person I met was your wife. She open-armed, heartedly welcomed me. I had no idea who anybody was. Then your kids get up. And then you get up, and it's just like there was something that I needed in my life, and it was direction. And the Lord spoke through just your family, just
wow.
Shining through, doing what they do. And it was admired. That's how the Lord touched me through
wow.
the service that you've done. Wow. And we commend him, but it's also, we commend God.
Amen.
We commend him for
Amen.
Allowing
Praise
God to speak through his voice, using his, as he's doing now, touching you guys. It's not us. This is God.
Awesome.
This is God.
All right, thank you, Joe.
Thank you, man. Thank you very
All right.
much. Yes.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You got to be ready in season, out of season around here.
Woo!
You know, there's, it's so refreshing to be around Joe in his new excitement for the Lord. He came to home group on Tuesday, sitting there on the couch, ready to go. Okay, let's do this, you know? And I call that a fire starter. You know, and my prayer is that everywhere he goes, he'll start the fires. And we need to pray for each other, too, because I know Satan would love to not for him not to be so on fire for Jesus. So pray for Joe. And I'm so grateful for you. And I like your shirt. It says blessed on the front. Amen. Thank you for coming up, Joe. And I'm so grateful for what God's doing in your life. So. Case in point, you know, and my friend Tony's been coming here. We're old friends from Texas. About how many years ago? 40 years ago. And I'm really excited to have him here. And then meeting Chris, you know, back here who's on fire after he told me his story. You'll have to hear his story sometime. When God gets a hold of your life and you're truly grateful for what he's done, your life will be changed. You will live differently. You'll spend your time differently, and you'll want to do these things. You'll want to read the Word. You'll want to find out, so what else does it say in here? You know, you'll want to be with other Christians because it encourages you when you're with them. It'll make you want to take communion and remember him at the cross and certainly pray. So I've broken it down. So look at point number 5 in your notes. So the first thing we need to do is to read the Bible, and we need to listen to the teaching of the Word. Notice that he said in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. So how can we devote ourselves to the teaching? We can read the Bible, remember basic instructions before leaving earth, and we can listen to people teach us. If we have a regular Bible diet, then we'll be spiritually healthy. Okay, Luke 2:52 says Jesus grew in stature, wisdom, favor with God, and favor with man. One of the key components of a healthy life is getting the Word in us. And so I was praying about what to talk about yesterday in regard to this. And I just got the idea, statistics. I wonder what kind of statistics there are out there. And I found this study online where these guys where they went in to find out what exactly happens when you read the Bible a lot. So they researched, they looked at Barna's reports, at Gallup polls, they looked at USA Today, they looked at all different sources, Agape Press, and so I just wanted to go through here and pick out a couple of things. It's interesting that they found out when people read the Bible 4 to 7 times a week, the power of four, at least four times, there is a marked difference in that person's life. But if you only read it once or twice or three times, then you don't have near the results. Isn't that interesting? So I went through here and highlighted. It says only about 6 in 10 Americans say they read the Bible at least on occasion, down from 3/4 in the 1980s. This is a general population. Only 1/6 now. In the 80s, when I was at UCSB, it was 3/4. So that's a big change in America. So you have a lot less biblical influence out there in the culture, and we can see that, can't we? Right? Less than 2 out of 5 read the Bible at least once a week. A lack of scriptural engagement produces several consequences. Disengagement from God's Word has left American believers ignorant of basic Bible facts and truths, vulnerable to false teachings, and in many cases, spiritually immature. As our research has demonstrated, those who read the Bible at least 4 times a week are less likely to engage in behaviors such as gambling, pornography, getting drunk, and sex outside of marriage. Those are the main 4 categories they looked at. Studies by several different organizations suggested about 1/2 of men attending church are involved in pornography. Wow, 1/2 in the church. A significant minority of self-identified born-again Christians, particularly those under 35, has cohabited, living with someone else, and divorce rates are just as high among born-again Christians as other groups. An estimated 8 out of 10 youth from evangelical Christian homes walk away from their faith by age 23. Let me say that again. 8 out of 10 evangelical youth walk away from their homes by the age of 23. The reason we homeschool is because we found out that 95% of homeschoolers retain the faith of their parents, and only 5% leave. But 80% who aren't homeschooled leave. And I know I'm a public school teacher. There's just so much influence out there. It's very difficult to stay with the Lord when you have a lot of friends that are not Christians. And I'll get to more of that later. So all of these disturbing trends stem from one common source. Many Christians are losing the day spiritually because they are not connected with God through His Word regularly. And we know this, don't we? But isn't it interesting to see the data? That's why I thought this is interesting. This data came from internet-based surveys of over 40,000 Americans ranging in age from 8 to 80. Surveys include both random samples of the general population and non-random samples of self-identified Christ followers. I'm not reading this whole thing, I assure you. I've highlighted sections. So, the majority of Americans do not hear from God at all through His Word. The majority. So, they have this graph here. Days per week reading or listening to the Bible for the general population. Tweens, 12%, 4 to 7 days. I'm going to highlight the 4 to 7 days. So, 12% are reading for at least 4 days. 17% of teens. 10% of the 18 to 24-year-olds, and 18% 25 and older. That's the general population, not born-agains, just people, right? And some of those could be born-again. That's just everybody. Then, for born-again Christians, 25% of tweens are reading the Bible 4 days a week. 37% of teens, 30% of 18 to 24-year-olds, and 40% 25 years and older. So 3/4 of young adult Christ followers have not read the entire Bible. Among older adults, more than 1/2 have not read all of God's Word at least once. So it's very difficult to make decisions with biblical principles if you don't know what it says, right? Personally, I go through the Bible really slowly. I have read through the Bible in 1 year, but over the years, I just kind of plod through and make sure I'm reading it all. That's what I do. Now, the low rates of Bible engagement among American Christians have tremendous ramifications for local churches and the body as a whole. Last week, Pastor Bill at New City said, don't believe everything you hear in church. Right? Because not every pastor is preaching from the Bible. I try my best just to give y'all biblical information, not just my opinion. Yeah, I mean, I may have my jokes. I try anyway. But you don't want to hear my opinions on stuff, right? So, now, Christians who are engaged in Scripture most days of the week have lower odds of participating in getting drunk, 57% lower. Sex outside of marriage, 68% lower. Pornography, 61% lower. And gambling, 74% lower. And then all these habits in general, 57% lower. So the power of four is evident when we consider that for some these behaviors. For those behaviors, when there is an effect for engaging Scripture 2 to 3 days a week, the effect is much smaller than for 4 days a week. There's a huge jump. It's like an exponential change from 2 to 3 days a week to four. This is interesting. Those who read or listen to the Bible at least 4 days a week have higher odds of sharing their faith with others, 228% better odds than just 2 or 3 days a week. Discipling others, teaching others, if you read the Bible 4 days a week, 231% better chance that you're pouring into other people's lives. And memorizing Scripture, 400% higher chances that you're memorizing some Scripture. Okay? So based on a research with a select sample, namely 8,665 self-identified Christian adults who are willing to participate in an online survey about Bible engagement, those who read or listen to the Bible at least 4 times a week are least likely to participate in any risk behavior and the least likely to engage in 5 of the 7 specific behaviors examined. Isn't that interesting? Now, Otz, thank you for raising your hand. Otz was telling me this week that he reads the Bible every day, and he shared his faith this week with somebody. And tell me what happened. Here, Otz, come up here for a second. Here, stand right next to my microphone over here so it'll be recorded. Tell me what you said in the parking lot.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Yeah, since I've been coming to church, you know, I'm listening to Pastor Ross's, how he, you know, witnesses of people about Jesus and all that. And then he also mentions how he'll invite that person to have, you know, Jesus in their heart. And it never dawned on me, because I always talk to people about Jesus, but I never asked people, would you like to receive Jesus as your personal Savior, you know? And this week, I had this opportunity to share with this one gal. Please pray for her. Her name's Diana, but God, she was so down and out. Mm. And so...
taking meds, right, and stuff?
Yeah, meds for her, you know, her mental condition, depression, basically. It's so epidemic nowadays, you know. So anyways, since I've been coming to church now and reading the Bible, blah, 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 I took it one step further by asking a person if they want to receive Jesus as their personal Savior. So it's because of church on the beach. And just like, what's your name?
Joe.
I found this church because of that sign, and I had my 1 year anniversary last month. So
tell them what happened when you asked her to if she wanted to receive Jesus. What'd she do?
Well, anyway, she broke down in tears, you know. I mean, she had her dark glasses on, but, you know, she broke down in tears, and I even, you know, wept a little bit, too. So, by faith, I invited her to church here. She has everything on her, you know, smartphone, blah, blah, blah. And for the first time also, you know, nowadays, okay, one thing about the pastor at the church last week, he mentioned a quotation from Ronald Reagan, President Ronald Reagan, trust but verify, you know.
Right, right. Trust and verify. Thank you.
Through the Bible, you know. And, you know, the YouTube has a lot of wonderful Christian, you know, podcasters, and, you know, so we got to trust but also verify through the Word of God. So also, talking to this one gal, or talking to the gal, I told her, you know, let's go on your smartphone and let's check out how Christian women deal with depression, you know. And so I gave her a tool, or another tool to put in her toolbox, you know, to utilize for her condition, you know. And it's all because of coming here to the church now and listening to Pastor Ross about, you know, witnessing and sharing the gospel, you know. And that's our mission in life. It's to share Jesus with people that, you know, are unsaved and don't know about him, because we're living in dark times, you know, and
Amen.
That's our job, to occupy till he comes back.
Amen. Thank you, Otz.
So anyway.
All right.
Yeah.
So, so that's what I'm talking about, 228% more likely to share your faith. And so, and then it had these graphs showing church, you know, these are all these things you don't want to do that are in colors. And this is, if you go to church once a month, less than once a month, at least once a month, they start getting smaller. And then pray once a day, at least once a day. Don't pray, do pray. Look at the difference in all those things you don't want to do, the colors. And then if you just read the Bible 0 to 1 times a week, 2 to 3 times a week, 4 or more, that's when the graph is the smallest as far as participating in risk behaviors. So that was really interesting to see. It's like this power of 4, you know. So, and it says that teens that read or listen to the Bible are significantly less likely to engage in risky behaviors. Moreover, those who do so at least 4 times a week have the lowest rates of involvement in all behaviors. It did have an asterisk, though. It said, be careful, because pornography is not following these statistics well. They're still getting into that if it's available to them. So, and then this right here, this shows spiritual disciplines and risk behaviors among the U.S. And once again, you have church attendance. You have less risky behavior with at least once a month going to church, praying once a day, and then for four or more times reading the Bible a week is when the graph is the smallest. Do y'all see that? 4 more times a week reading the Bible is when you have the healthiest life. And that's what I'm talking about, ingredients for a healthy church. You know, and a healthy church is not involved in gambling, pornography, getting drunk, and sex outside of marriage. Can we agree on that? Okay, good. Just checking. Okay. And then he had these other graphs to show the whole thing. Once again, it's amazing the difference between 4 times a week and 2 or 3 times a week as they went through this study. So, let's see what else I had here. Like I say, so it says, too many of us are focusing on one-way communication and not receiving from God. 4 scriptural touches a week can make a huge difference in turning the tide. Finding a way to get hearing from God through the Bible back on believers' priorities list will go a long way towards building a stronger Christian community, and that's us, and a more effective witness for Christ. So that's pretty cool, huh? Somebody went to a lot of trouble to verify what we are finding to be true in the text, right? So let's look at the verses that I have here. It says, if we read the Bible and we study it, it will change us. It'll renew our mind. And you know that some of us need a brainwash. Look at your neighbor and say, I needed a brainwash. So if someone looks at you and say, you've been going to church? Oh, so you've been brainwashed. You're like, yeah, I think you probably need a good washing too, you know? And, you know, it reminds me of my friend Danny Lehman, I talked to him on the phone recently, and he's with Youth with a Mission. He was our base leader. He was from Santa Cruz. He was doing acid and all kinds of drugs. He could hardly talk. And he came to Jesus in the 70s in the Jesus Movement with Chuck Smith and Calvary Chapel, and hung out down in Costa Mesa. And Danny was so wasted. They said, Danny, just start reading the Bible. So he just sat there and started reading the King James Bible, and God renewed his mind to the point that he became the overseer of all the ministry in the Pacific, writing books, witnessing, teaching. He was our base leader. He's a surfer, so we did board meetings together. And it's just amazing what happened with the Word of God. Look at Romans 12, 1 and 2, guys. Look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is really good. This is good one to memorize, in fact. 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, in view of His mercy, it says in the NIV, in view of what He's done for our lives, y'all, His mercy is unbelievable. By the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. In other words, whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'm all in, right? Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. That's what we've been reading about. But be, here it is, and underline this in your Bible, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is. How can you know what the will of God is if you've never read it? And in our day and age, we have lots of stuff out there that is flying in the face of Scripture. And people are telling us that's so old-fashioned. I'm sorry, Jesus was the same yesterday, today, and forever. The counsel of God has not changed and will not change because God knows what's best for us. He made us. He knows how we're made. He knows how we will live a healthy life. And the last part says that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's what He wants for our lives. A good, acceptable, perfect, meaning complete. He wants to complete us. So how do we get transformed? By reading the Bible. At least four times a week. I recommend every day take your vitamin J to keep the devil away. Right? Take your vitamin J every day to keep the Bible, to keep the devil away. And I recommend that you read the Proverbs. And I tell the boys in Los Padrinos at Juvenile Hall, read the book of Proverbs because then you'll know how to respond to people. You know, a gentle answer turns away wrath. That'll help you a lot inside Juvenile Hall. Instead of when someone talks smack, you talk smack back. Now you're both in trouble. It's like in pro football, the second person that shoves the lineman, he gets the penalty, right? So if you can answer someone with a gentle tongue, then you'll stay in good favor with the staff in Juvenile Hall. I tell them that. Well, same with us in our families, in our workplace. That's just one proverb, Proverbs 15:1. So I say read a chapter a day. There's 31 chapters, and God will give you wisdom right there. Pastor Kurt, who we're going to Malawi with, Lord willing, he memorized all the Proverbs so that he could live wisely. I personally start my day with prayer, and then I listen to Greg Laurie or Chuck Swindoll. Chuck Swindoll and I disagree a bit about spiritual gifts because he's a dispensationalist. So when he gets to the book of Acts, I have to kind of maneuver my way through there, you know. But he's a great Bible teacher on just teaching the Word of God. And plus, he's from Texas and tells good stories. But he's not inaccurate, and it's just the Holy Spirit, he believes it ceased. And that's, we talked about that. But Greg Laurie's right on. Listen to him. He's on like three times a day. That way, I can filter everything that I hear during the day through the truth. When I hear the news, I can filter it. No, that's not right. When I read a textbook, my science textbook, and it tells me that evolution is true, I go, wait, you know what? I thought we were made in the image of God. You know, I thought that, you know, that each one reproduces after its kind. I don't see any half anything in the Bible. So, yet, you know, reading the Bible will help you to discern. And with the information we're getting in the media, Lord knows we need the filter, don't we? Amen? And the Bible will give us a whole new perspective. The last verse I want to read, we only got to one point today. I had a feeling that might happen. Looked at Colossians 3:16. This is so rich. Seriously, look at it in your Bible. Colossians 3:16. And underline it or highlight it. When you get there, say amen. Colossians 3:16. Just remember, go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, or General Electric Power Company. Whatever you float your boat. Okay, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly, look at that word right there. Just stop there for a second. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Not just like read real quickly. No, no. Let it percolate. Let it start to filter in. Sit there with it. Even if it's just one verse for the day and that's your quiet time, that's okay. If you'll internalize it, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom. And this is the thing. Then you'll be able to teach and admonish because you'll know what the Bible says. You'll be able to tell your friend, you know, I love you. I just want to show you this to help you. And will you do this for me too? We all need each other, right? Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And we'll get to that later about the praising part. But the part I wanted to highlight is let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. Richly. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about, where you let a nice verse just sink in. And it just, it just made everything so much better. And I would encourage you to pick a verse and memorize it and then use it during the day. You need an easy verse? Anybody need an easy verse? Luke 1:37. Nothing is impossible with God. Okay, ready? Everybody say, nothing is impossible with God. Luke 1:37. Nothing is impossible with God. Luke 1:37. So when someone says to you, oh, that's impossible. Well, you know what the Bible says? Nothing is impossible with God. Luke 1:37. When I went to the Philippines in 1992 on my first big missions trip for a month, someone gave me two sheets of verses to memorize, and that was one of them. I've been using those verses ever since. And what you walk around with your toolkit of verses for different situations. Wait, where's my flashlight? Wait, oh no, I need my Leatherman for that one, you know? And you take that out and apply it to the situation. Amen? So, while the worship team comes up, was that enough for today? We got through one point. So, all right. So you know what's coming. The rain is coming. No. Okay. So maybe someone today within earshot has never received the Lord. So let's close our eyes and bow our heads. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. If you've never received Jesus in your heart, I want to pray with you. Okay, I feel like everybody's doing well right now. If you haven't, if you're not so sure about doing it publicly, I encourage you today, the Bible says today is the day for salvation, to pray or pray with somebody when you leave. Here's my second prayer. Maybe you're in a place right now where you feel like you need to rededicate and repent and change your mind about some things and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I veered off course. I want to come back to you. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I see those hands. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Repeat these words with me. Dear Jesus, you are the way, the truth, the life. And I know you're the way to the Father. And you know the way I should live. Where I will have a healthy life. And love others. I want to be on the right track. Forgive me. Fill me with your Spirit. Teach me. And show me the way to go. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, go God. Just in time before the rain comes. Let's.